Let's continue by going to 2 Timothy this morning, chapter 3, and let's start flowing in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. We're going to read there, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to read the first 8 verses. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous and boasters and proud. They will be blasphemers, they will be disobedient to parents, and unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors and heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort, and it goes on just to say more things. I want you to focus on verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Praise the Lord. This morning, ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk to you about the difference in our lives between living with God in power and living in a form of godliness. Anything in church that is boring is normally boring because it is part of a religious act. Religion is void, empty, and dead. God is alive and breathing and well. And what I've learned over all the years of being a preacher now and doing this every week all over the world is that people bring their culture with them. And they also bring their religion with them to church. So being alive in God and experiencing who God is and all the blessings God has is not a matter of just the church you go to or the building you go to. A bad church and bad habits and spiritual issues like that can make your life worse, or it can help you get freer. But just in this kind of church or in any kind of church, you can bring deadness with you. You can bring emptiness with you. You can bring shallowness with you. You can bring a lack of God and a lack of a relationship with God with you right into the building. So you can sit there while everybody else may be getting blessed, and God may be healing people or delivering people or baptizing people in the Holy Spirit or opening people's eyes or filling people's hearts with love or joy or peace, or people are meeting God, having encounters with God, and you sitting there may have no encounter. You may never touch God. God may never change you. Your life may stay exactly as it's been for 10, 15, or 20 years. The number one sign that you are a religious person is that you never change. That is the number one sign that you are a religious person and you are participating in religion. And so there's all kinds of different kinds of religion. But right here, there's a group of people, a whole entire mindset out there that have a form of godliness but don't have the power of God. Praise the Lord. So God makes a distinction. When Jesus came into the earth, he shook the whole place up because he was the exact opposite of the Pharisees and the religious people of the day. They said the right things, but they did the wrong things. They didn't have the power to live right. They didn't have the power to overcome their corrupt natures. They didn't have the power to be, you know, integrous, honest, kind, loving, gentle, genuine, or pure. They had made up their mind through a perception that they were going to use God and religion to rob people and to steal from people, con people. This is the kind of things that religion produces. Religion, then, is a breeder of corruption dressed in God. So we don't want to have that in our lives. We don't want to have a face mask of God and then a heart filled with lies, injustice, and falsehood. Praise the Lord. Can I get any kind of noise? Amen. Because, you know, again, graveyards are filled with the silence. So we don't want to, you know, display any kind of graveyard attitudes. So you're free to be free and make it, even shout at me in a nice way. No cussing. That's done outside. But the truth is that just because you come to church doesn't mean you're going to get set free. Just because you come to church doesn't mean that you're going to get answers to your problems. However, some people will come to church and get free and get answers because there's a trait, an attitude that creates freedom and healing and deliverance. An attitude. It's a mindset. It's the way a person comes prepared. Hebrews 4:2 says, the word of God that was preached to them didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with expectation and faith. So because people already have determined how much God will do or can do, they're limited to their perception. So basically, our perception becomes our conclusion, and then our conclusion hands us our harvest and our destiny. You've got to decide what box, perhaps, you have put God in so you can let him out to be the God that you need. Praise the Lord. Does anybody need God? Does anybody need to get better? Does anybody need to change or be healthier? Does anybody have anybody in your life that's driving you crazy? Are you planning some kind of murder? Perhaps some kind of, you know, burying people or, you know, sneaking up on folks? Have you been praying for people to die? This are signs of not such a good thing. Praise the Lord. So, religious people then, or anybody who's religious, is anybody who gets into a habit or rut and stops changing even though God shows up. Right? So, this is what we don't want to have. We don't want to have a form. We want to have the power. Praise the Lord. So look at two people, shake their hand and say, if you believe what he's saying, give me your wallet. Come on. Let's see how much they really believe, if they're really just, you know, being puppeted along. Right? At least you'll get something out of the service, you know. I got $150. I like that preacher. I think I'll go back. $150 out of the service this morning. That was something. So, but to go to church, ladies and gentlemen, over and over again, and just have an image of being alive, having an image of being powerful, or having an image of being happy, or it's all so sad and so unnecessary when we have a God that's no longer in the grave. I mean, he's resurrected from the grave, and he promises to do all these amazing things. But if you're not experiencing them, it's because you've unconsciously, perhaps, through habit, adopted a religious mindset about not expecting God to be God, because no one you know expects him to be God. So what we're reduced to then is being nice people. This is the level of our experience. Nice people who do nice things for needy people. All that is good, but it's not the end of the story. Right? There's more. So I want to talk to you a little bit about those things. So we want to be careful, because we don't ever want to get in a position where we are not fully enjoying everything about God. You don't want your children to come to church, and as soon as they're old enough to stop going to church, this is not a good sign. This is not a good sign. If your children are not more passionate about Jesus and God, then religion touched them at some place. Somewhere, religion stretched its hand out and touched your children. And as soon as they can get out of church, they're going to get out of church, because they haven't been in church with Jesus. They've been in church with religion in the name of Jesus. This is not something I'm interested in, and I don't think it's something any of you are interested in. How many of you would rather have actual freedom? Actual peace, joy, and love. Wouldn't you rather have children who say to you, let's go to church again. Let's go to church again. But we create these cultural habits that gag God, tie God's hands, and prevent God from being able to be who he is. We have put God in a box. And because of that, he's pretty much blind and deaf and mute and handless and footless and heartless, and everything else. It can creep into any person's life. And remember, like I said, this whole church can be on fire. Everybody can be alive. A lot of people can be alive, but you personally may just be sad and miserable and unhappy. And I don't believe God does that. I don't believe that's the way God is. God loves us. God loves us. God loves me. He does. He loves me a lot. And he loves you a lot. And he doesn't want me to have anything other than what he promised that I'm supposed to have. Right? So let's be careful that we don't fall into these forms, and I'm going to give them to you, of godliness, but that don't have the power of it. Praise the Lord. All right? Give someone a high five, would you? And say, is that a wig? I've never seen that. It's amazing. 2 Peter 1, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called you to glory and virtue. Wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Praise God. Acts 2, verse 2 through 4. When the day of Pentecost was come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared to them cloven tongues, parting asunder like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise God. There were dwelling there at Jerusalem men from every nation, and they heard them speaking in their own language and were shocked and amazed. Praise the Lord. Okay, so Acts 1:8, you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. Praise God. And many, many other scriptures. So let's go then into the different things you and I don't want to get involved in because it will steal God. I don't know any other way to say it. Can you imagine having God stolen from you by an idea or an attitude or a concept? And now you're faced to live life on your own strength, your own ability. Because as far as you know, the relationship you have with God, he may never get involved in anything. You may give God credit for doing things, but really, is that the same as seeing the visible hand of God? I'm going to give you the definition for power just so you can get it in your mind. Power is the invisible hand of God removing the visible hand of Satan. That's how you know you've come in contact with the power of God, is that an invisible hand removes the visible hand of Satan out of your family and life. That's power. And that is not religion. Praise the Lord. You say, what do you mean, Ivan? Well, let's talk about it like this. How many of you tend to be mean by nature? Lift your hand. So I have three or four honest people here. I've got part of a revival going on here. Anybody here? Nobody here. They're all backslidden. How about I got two people? So if you say, I wake up and I'm just moody. I need no one to talk to me for the first 6 hours of the day. Just by nature. Well, you know that's the devil. That's not God. God doesn't create mean people. Right? But it may be what your nature is. But when you have a relationship with God, he begins to remove the visible hand of Satan off your personality. And after 10 years of being a Christian, you ought to be kind. You ought to be sweet and loving. And you shouldn't be so proud and vain and arrogant. Otherwise, you haven't been touched by God if you're honest. And the whole thing about Christianity, ladies and gentlemen, is until we become honest people, we will never become free people. You ladies know what it's like to be frustrated with your husband after 10 or 15 years of telling him to change in some area, and he promises everything and does nothing, right? You know what it's like to live in the torment of an oppressive wife who continually nags and tells you, you know, all the bad things that are wrong with you, and maybe even gives you threats and ultimatums, how terrible that would be. So unless the power of God gets involved, then you're going to be living with a title of a Christian, but the lifestyle of lost people. So what we want is the power of God. Can anybody say anything about anything? Praise the Lord. Wave your hand at me and act like you're breathing. Praise the Lord. Now, how many of you ladies would be so blessed and believe there is a God if your husband changed? That's the only miracle you would need. All other miracles would be lesser miracles. It would be tiny, blind eyes opening. That would be nothing to the power of changing a man. I mean, this is walking on water Christianity. A man changes? What? Right? Or a woman not bothered by you? This would be like a miracle. Like, she's totally unbothered. Whether I change or not, she stays happy. She's blessed, and she's not on drugs. She's on God. She's on God, in God, and through God. Praise the Lord. This is why so many people hate Christians and Christianity, because we have the form. Nobody will deny the power, but everybody will deny the form. You can only be nice for so long, ladies and gentlemen, because remember what I've told you now for a few years. When God is ready to promote you, he always sends someone to offend you. This is the recipe for Christ-likeness. God will send someone to expose the devil on the inside of you. Holla, holla. Praise the Lord. So here's the forms, and we'll go through them. So when a person says, oh, I know Jesus, I'm a Christian, all that. You know, when I was young growing up, I was a Catholic, and as I was growing up in the Catholic Church, I didn't know there were anything. I didn't know, honestly, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't know that there were non-Christians in America, because we're Americans. Americans synonymous with Christian. So I thought all Americans, anybody who, like, if you came from another place, you stepped in America, you're automatically an American. I'm a Christian. That's what I thought. So I thought everyone is a Christian. And then someone challenged me, a young girl. She said, you know, you're going to probably go to hell. Uh-huh. What are you talking about? I'm an American. That's what I said. I'm an American. What do you mean go to hell? I'm an American. I live in America. This is America. People, Americans don't go to hell. That's for crazy people. This was my concept. But then I began to see something. I began to see that Spirit-filled churches are just as religious as unspirit-filled churches. They can get that way. And the only measuring line is fruit. Only fruit tells the truth. Fruit is the gavel of the truth. That's how you know that you're walking with God. That's how you know you have a relationship with God, is the fruit coming out of your life. Praise the Lord. All right? So then dead religion is full of coldness. You know, Lazarus was in a tomb. When he came out of the tomb, he had rags on him. And this is how everybody comes out of religion. And you can have religion without ever having going to church. You don't have to go to church to be religious. You just have to watch TV or watch religious people. And you automatically become cold. Coldness is a part of religion. Cold people in a church building is religion. We are warm-hearted, tender-hearted, sincere, kind, loving, generous people. This is the difference between religion and Jesus, is that we love people. We're tender-hearted. We're not hard-hearted. You can't walk with God and remain hard-hearted. You will go through periods of hard-heartedness, but because of your relationship with God, he will soften your heart and change it. But you cannot stay hard-hearted unless you are in religion. That's Jesus' religion, any kind of religion you want to call it. Hard-heartedness is the fruit. That's how you can tell a person doesn't walk with God. People who walk with God have a tender, soft heart. They're forgiving, they're tolerant, they're loving, they're kind, they appreciate people, and they give people dignity and respect. And if you don't do that, then you're just religious and you speak in tongues. That's all you are. Don't get offended. I'm supposed to preach. Right? And I'm doing it nicely. I'm not even mad. Praise the Lord. All right, give someone a high five and say, wow, it looks like you lost some more weight. Glory to God. People believe their relationship with God, religious people, is based on their religious language. How we say things. You know, anybody can go around the church saying, praise the Lord, glory to God, how are you doing? Thank you, Jesus, thank God, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and doing all that kind of stuff. But God is not interested in that. He's interested in sincerity and truth. He's interested in people being sincere. This is one of the signs of a person who is in a relationship with God and has the power of God, is that we have sincerity in our life. Praise God. Has anybody ever told you, I love you, and you knew they didn't mean it? Have you ever heard somebody say, I love you, and you knew they meant it, and it moved the earth you were standing on? Praise the Lord. That's why children will stay in church who are properly loved by God, but they will stay out of church who are improperly loved by religion. Praise the Lord. Is anybody here? Go ahead and stand up and turn around and then just sit down again. Go ahead. Just do it. Why not? Praise the Lord. All right. Lift your hands and say, holla, holla. Some people's form of religion is a matter of clothes and outward appearance. And you have to understand that just wearing clothes doesn't make you Christ-like. Wearing clothes doesn't make you have a relationship with Jesus. It doesn't matter. I mean, what God is interested in is that your heart is right with God and that you live a life with pure motives. Praise the Lord. Some people think that just because they create some culture of religion, that's everything. You know, just they read the Bible, they do all kinds of stuff, but there's no power in any of that. Anybody can do that. People fall asleep in church because their heart is not used to truth. Their heart is tuned to other things that keep them from being bored. But God is supposed to be the most exciting person in the world. But when we have religion, that's not the way it is. We've got to get some other kind of form of stimulation to keep us excited. Whereas when you are truly connected to God, life starts to flow out of you everywhere you're at. And it's not a matter of doing any kind of rituals or routines or any kind of dead habits. I mean, really, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for some of us to start changing. Can I get any kind of hallelujah from anybody? Did you hear what I said? I said, it's time for us to start changing. Some folks have got to start changing. Would you look at somebody and just tell them, I think God is talking to you. I don't know. I don't need anything. I changed last week. Praise the Lord, I changed my clothes today. Yeah. And that's why people need to fall in love with their Bibles. Because when you are walking with God, you are always in a constant state of change, adjustment, and challenges. What does that mean? It means that you challenge yourself all the time. You say, here's where I'm stuck. Now I'm going to go talk to God, and He gets you unstuck. And that area of your life becomes Christ-like, and it starts looking like Jesus because you're in a relationship with God, not religion. Religion makes you read the Bible and not change. God lets you read the Bible, brings it to life, and it changes the DNA that you're living in. You actually become a new creature because of the power of God in your life through the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Do you see that this is the answer to every problem that we would ever have? Is to have an on-spot God all the time? This is the answer. When your children are more excited about Jesus than anything else in their life, you know you are introducing them to the right thing. But when they want other things, you know something is going wrong, and you need to start looking to the places where the adjustments need to be made. Praise the Lord. When your husband is acting like he used to act before he was saved, someone has dropped off their relationship with God. When your wife is freaking out and threatening suicide, murder, and attacking people, you understand that something needs to change. When your sons and daughters are wanting to get in drugs and do crazy stuff, then we need to start reevaluating everything. And we need to decide, are we really just religious people that speak in tongues? Or are we really getting full of the life of God in every area of our life? Right? Because religion, you can wear clothes to be religious, or you can wear non-religious clothes to be religious. There's just as many religious people who are legalistic about not wearing suits as there are about people who are religious about wearing suits. It's all about freedom. Amen. And it's about understanding where God is, who God is, and not about all these outside things that we all want to do to make us right with God. Praise the Lord. No, what I really need is everybody to love me. Praise God. I don't care if you have a suit. I don't care if you're wearing Bermuda shorts. If you're loving and Christ-like, that's going to be a blessing. Praise the Lord. And that's what we all want. Everybody wants that. I want that for my children. I want that for my friends. I want that from everybody. But I live out there, ladies and gentlemen, in churches every week of every kind, of every size. And I'm telling you that there's a very little water walking going on. People are stuck in their ruts. And God is not okay with it. He's not going to kill anybody, but he's not okay because we are stealing from God his ability to bless us. And he's a dad, and he likes to bless his children. He wants every one of you out of debt. Hello? He wants all of you out of debt. Can anybody say anything? I said he wants all of you out of debt. He wants everybody to get healed and to get delivered. He'd like the devil out of your head. Praise God. Turn to two people and say, he wants the devil out of your head. How do you know you have the devil in your head? Because he always squeezes out of your mouth. If you have the devil in your head, he squeezes himself right out of your mouth in your words. You criticize people, you find fault with people, you judge people, you accuse slander. All those guys, that's the devil living in your head. Because that's where religion is created. It's created in your thought life. One man comes to this service, he gets healed, saved, delivered, his children do, everybody's happy, they run around, everything's bad. Another whole entire group, nothing. It's all because right here is where the revival takes place, between our ears. Here is where it happens. This is where it happens. This is where your pride is no longer activated, and you're no longer offendable. Isn't that interesting? Because, you know, if you're vain, I promise you, you will get offended regularly. If you're conceited and proud, you will get offended almost daily. If you're not permanently offended, like for years at a time. Humble people can't be offended because they have nothing to protect and nothing to defend. They are not creating an image that they need to protect. They're not interested in getting attention, praise, honor, respect. That's not their trip. It's not their agenda. Their agenda is to get as many people saved, healed, whole, delivered, and out of misery, suffering, and pain as possible. That's what they're interested in, because that's what God is interested in. Praise the Lord. That's why we can't put our focus on the wrong thing. Go ahead and grab somebody behind you. Take their wallet and just run. Just run out of the place. Religious people tend to be racists and biased. This is what I've noticed. I go to churches, huge ones, filled with people, but there is an underlying, unspoken air to the place of racism, prejudice, and bias. This is how you can tell. God has no racism in him. There's no bias. God is not colorblind. God is not colorblind. Because to be colorblind, he has to say, I can't look at that. I have to be blind to it. God is color coordinated. That is the difference. We can't just dress in all white. God is a color God, so he likes every color. And until our hearts come out of that dark dungeon of racism and prejudice, where we put everybody in the same category because they're of a certain color. And everybody does this. Many people do this. Many church people do this. Many church people do this. But this is religion. This is not the power of God. Praise the Lord. And so it's really important because God wants to add to the congregation, this one, and he's going to add to the congregation. Black folks are going to start coming. Chinese people, Indian people are going to start coming. There will be a revival when people can sense in the air the prayers of the body of Christ to create the atmosphere of heaven right here on earth. Praise the Lord. And some people ask me, well, what do you think? You know, I told my children, you can marry anybody you want. I don't care what color they are. They can be white folks, black folks, brown folks, yellow folks, you know, any color they want. But they have to have the character to match the color. I'm not going to sacrifice my children to prove a point. But at the same time, the character has to match. Praise the Lord. Plus, I'm not forcing my children into anything. I'm just saying freedom is the issue. Are we truly free? Are you truly free? Do you want to be truly free? Or do we love the things that God cannot bless? That's the big question. Praise the Lord. This church is doing great. It's going to continue to do great. This church is on a good path. It is on a good road. It is being led properly. You are going to be led, though, into places you've never gone before. This is how you know you're not in religion. You get out of the boat. You start stretching. You start taking chances that seem to be dangerous. You start going places that seem to scare you. Saying, what is going on, man? We're doing crazy stuff. The biker thing? That's crazy, man. That's like, you know, man, that could freak people out. But it's working. And it will keep going like that in every area of life unless you stop it by being stuck in a rut of the same old, same old, same old. I suggest you sit in a different chair just to freak yourself out. Say, well, we always sit here, but I'm not sitting here anymore. I'm going to sit over there. Well, they don't feel right. It feels like we're visiting. Exactly. It feels like you're visiting. Pastor sits there. She's been sitting there for 35 years. I mean, you know, it's, you know, Mike and Elodie have been sitting there, not sleeping, but sitting there. You're always awake, but sitting there. But you understand what I'm saying? It's a bad thing, ladies and gentlemen. It's a bad thing. And I'm not saying be legalistic about it. I'm just saying, why don't you try? Why don't you try something you haven't done? Why don't you let God grow your wings and spread you out? Why? Why not? Why not have all kinds of signs, wonders, and miracles? Why not have God do things that He's never done before? Why not have God bring another 100 black folks, another 100 Hispanics? Why not force Pastor Steve to learn Spanish because of all the Spanish people and say, praise God, I got to learn Spanish, man. I got 200 people that don't speak English, and I can't buy all those radios. That's costing me $200,000 a year. I think I'll just learn Spanish. Wow, wouldn't that be an incredible thing if right here in York, Pennsylvania, there was a big multiracial church with all kinds of languages going in it because the people are not religious and stuck in the habitual curses of their forefathers that forced them into sects and groups? I'm just throwing stuff out. Praise the Lord. Because isn't it true that we're supposed to be unconditionally loving of people and unconditionally loving of each other? It's not just being happy and smiling for a while, ladies and gentlemen. It goes way beyond that. It's the ability to get out of your comfort zone and go do something crazy for someone that you may not like. This is different than going to do something you don't like for someone you like. Say, oh, I'm going to go do this for my daughter, but I don't really like it, but I'm going to do it. But it's your daughter. What the heck are you talking about? What about doing it for your enemy? No, what? I'll kill him. I'm getting a long-range rifle with a scope. It's the same thing. The perception changes the value of the sacrifice. If my child is here, my grandson Tate is right there, and a lion tries to eat him, I'm not going to just stand by and watch my grandson get eaten by a lion. He's only 3 years old. I'm going to dive in the mouth of the lion and let him chew on me. I'm going to stick my leg there first so I can survive for a while he runs out. Eat my leg. I'm going to go like that. He's going to eat my leg. While he's eating my leg, I'll put the other leg in there. while my grandson escapes and let the lion eat me. And I'm not going to consider it a sacrifice. Because the perception of the value I have in my grandson changes what I'm willing to do with a good attitude. But when you mean nothing to me, I do nothing for you. When God means nothing to me, I do nothing for Him. I don't read my Bible. I don't pray. I don't learn. I don't change. I'm not discipled. I'm not trained. I'm the same every single day. Over and over and over and over. And well, if that's what people want, that's their business. It's just not what people who really want to walk with God are okay with. People who love Jesus want to do His will for their life. They don't want to just go to heaven. They want to do His will. Praise the Lord. And His will is not just one thing. It can spread into all kinds of other things. So, look at two people right now and say, I love you just the way you are. Go ahead and tell them. Give them a big hug. Say, I love you just the way. Now, I'm asking you to hug them. I'm not asking you to hug your wife. I'm not asking you to hug your husband. I'm asking you to go and hug somebody you don't even like. Go ahead and get up and go hug somebody you don't like right now. Come on, get up. Go hug somebody you don't like. Just walk over there and say, hey, I'm going to hug you. There's nobody, you know, go lie to them if you have to. Just say, hey, I love you, I love you, I love you. I like everybody. I like, you know, lie, lie, lie. I love everybody. Religion puts you in groups and in sectarian groupings and all that, and gives you that better than you are attitude. That's religion. We don't have a better than you are attitude. That's religion, ladies and gentlemen. We're Christians. We don't view other people less than we are. We don't do that. Jesus won't let us do that. If we walk with God, we could never cuss anybody out. We can't do it. You can't hit a person in the mouth. Normal circumstances. You certainly could if you have to protect your family. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody that cusses you out. You don't just match them. Eye for an eye. You cuss me out, I cuss you out. You throw the finger, I'll throw my whole hand at you. That's not Christianity. That's a godless person with the title of a Christian. You don't just sever relationships that have lasted for 10 and 15 years with people just at the drop of one offense or one thing. You don't just cut things off. You don't just leave churches after somebody has poured into your life 10, 15, and 20 years. No godly man or woman could possibly do any such thing. Only religious, cold-hearted, brutal people. But that's not what we're called to do. I don't want religion, do you? No, I don't want to have a form. I want to have the power. I want you to get healed today and tomorrow. I want you to get restored. I want God to bring your children back home. I want you to get healed of any diseases in your bones or head. What if you're just mentally crazy? You say, what do you mean? You know, you can be crazy in one thing and be sane in all the rest. You could be God crazy. God crazy? Yeah, that means you have a distorted view of who God is. You're spiritually insane. Because you have twisted God's face and made God a tyrant or some other terrible thing. But let me just tell you, if nobody's ever told you, God is love. Period. Period. Praise the Lord. So, all right, what do you think? Do I get anybody smiling at me? Some of you are scary looking. I mean, you look like, you know, assassins or something. I notice this, that the more you spend time with Jesus, the sweeter you become. And the less time you spend Jesus, the more cold-blooded you become. That's what I've noticed. And we protect our own, and everybody else can go just jump in the lake. But this is not the way God is. Praise the Lord. God does not dwell in buildings. He dwells in temples. We use buildings to celebrate God, and functional buildings are great for giving God. We need them, they need to be paid for, and the church needs to be totally out of debt. And I'm going to just tell you that I am on a crusade to get every church that I have anything to do with out of debt. Three this year already. Three this year. One was almost $500,000. They paid off their debt. And then the biggest one sent me a text a few months ago. Totally paid off. $9 million. Come on. Praise the Lord. I'd like to see this church be totally out of debt. I'm not saying it is in debt, but I'm just saying if there's any debt, it needs to be paid off. If not, let's believe God for a new building. It's, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, is God a sit-still God or is God a moving God? At some point, this building will have to be filled two or three times on Sunday, and you're going to need to spread it out. There's no parking in Christianity. You don't just get to like, we have arrived, now let's park. You know, somebody gets a biker inspiration, that's working. Somebody else is going to get something else, and so on and so forth. But the whole idea is there's people out there lost, they're going to hell. There are people out there cussing each other out every day. There are married people out there having terrible times. There are people in this building right now having terrible times at home. They need Jesus. They need God. They don't need more religion. They need Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, there was an ark in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence, power, and glory of God dwelt. And the two little boys grew up in that home with the Ark of the Covenant in a room, a particular room. They were told to stay away from it, but as all children forget those things, they played around the ark. So the ark lost its power and value to them. It was a piece of furniture. When it moved, one of the boys grabbed it like he had 1,000 times before. And it meant nothing to him, and it killed him because now the ark had come to life. And you can't control God, because that's what religion does. It controls what God is allowed to do to us. This is why, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, that man will go to church as long as the services are short and no changes are required. And he will go to church as long as God is silent and stays in his box and doesn't speak and freak everybody out. But we're moving into a new age now. We're moving into the age where all religion is going to begin to lose its authority and power. And the power of God is going to start going out into the streets. And things you never thought you would do at your age, you're going to start doing. You're going to start doing crazy stuff. And people are going to get saved and healed and delivered. And the boredom of life and all the leeches of life and the worms of life and all that are not going to have access to your insides anymore. And you will not live in fear or worry or doubt or any of the things that trouble you at night and visit you at night and the lies that come into your head and the threats that come into your mind and the drugs that you must take just to survive. All of that is going to be replaced by a person, Jesus Christ. A person, Jesus Christ. He is going to replace all of our crutches and all of our dependencies and all of the stuff in our life that is not of God. This is the purpose for church. It is to experience God, to encounter God, and to truly say when we go to church, we have just met God. God just changed my wife. God just changed my husband. You cannot believe what that man is doing. You cannot believe how he's acting. He's not just reading the Bible. He's lovingly spending time with his children. He's talking to them. He's asking for forgiveness, for misleading them, for mispainting God. He's praying. He's praying in the Holy Ghost. He's talking to strangers about Jesus, and they're getting saved over there at the Amish barn. They're getting saved over there at the Mennonite Center. They're getting saved over here and over there. I mean, stuff is going on. My wife is on fire. You're going to be saying crazy stuff. She's chasing me around the house. I mean, stuff is going on in the Holy Ghost. God is not dead. Grab your neighbor and shake him a little bit and say it. God is not dead. There's no way to have trouble between two people who have a relationship with God. It's not possible. Trouble only happens when one of the two people or the two people decide to not be like Jesus at some moment. There's no debt in church. There's no debt in church. if everybody obeys God and does their tithing, there's no problem. In the Old Testament, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to end here in a second. In the Old Testament, Moses had to tell the people to stop giving. He actually had to tell them. He said, guys, would you stop giving? I don't know what to do with the money. It's coming out of everywhere. We got it boiling over here. Stop giving. Stop it. This is the reverse of religion. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Come on, come on, come on. You're going to burn in the fires of hell. Because that's what it takes to get $5 out of some Christians. You got to threaten them with hell. And when they lose their fear of that, everybody grows broke. But what if you didn't need that? What if God spoke to you? What if God spoke to you? What if you were close enough to Jesus where you were sensitive? And you could look around a congregation and say, oh, I can see Dorothy over there, that widow. I'm going to go ask her. How's it going with your house payments and all that? Well, I kind of missed two. I'll take care of that this morning. Praise the Lord. Anything in the church, wham, you would just, it's a whole different kind of Christianity. And that's what I'm really preaching to you. Tonight I'll tell you about the power flowing and how it flows, because it's really important. Because what if you don't know how to activate all this? Then we just remain these spirit-filled Pharisees. Just spirit-filled Pharisees that are passionless, and our worship becomes routine. There's no longer, we don't touch God anymore. We sing the living songs, but with asleep hearts. And then we are just glorified denominational people. That's all we are. Because if you can predict what's going to happen every time at church, and it can be a season where that's okay, but when you can predict it, then it can become dangerous because of our tendency to disconnect with habits. When it's a habit, you may not even remember you did it because it's an unconscious behavior. Singing songs can become an unconscious behavior. But when you sing a song that you have never sung before, and it says to God what your heart feels, then you cry and you freak out and you say, there is a God. God is alive. I can feel God. I can hear God. I can taste God. I can see God. Oh, God, thank you. But when you sing a song with worms in it, it means that nobody cares what they're singing. The song has been sung out to death. It needs to be set out on a ship and sent away to people that have never sung it. But people need new songs so that we don't get into an old rut of the same old, which just simply speaks of an insincerity. Right? And so, Pastor Steve and all the pastors before him don't have speakers to just out of habit. They have them out of relationship. I come here because I love Pastor, and I love all of you. I have a relationship with you. I don't just know some of you. I have a relationship with you. Mike Delp has been going with me all over the world for almost 20-something years. Do you know how hard it is to be around Mike Delp 10 and 15 years ago? Do you know the amount of love it took to be able for him to be around me all that time? You thought I was going to say me around him. Mm-hmm. But yes, because to me, Michael Delp has always been nothing but a blessing. I can't even put it in words. I know something needs to be done. Mike, get it done. He'll get it done. He may get in two or three fights in the midst of it over the years. But all now it's all different. He's not like that. But I mean, I had to warn people sometimes. You know, Mike, he's very intense. He's very driven. He's very focused. So holla, holla, beware. Boom, boom. But now Mike is full of love and kindness and sweet and all that and gentle. I know Melody did it all. But, you know, it's all. Just kidding. But believe me, this is the beauty of when you walk with God. You do not stay the same. We do not stay the same. your marriage can be okay if you will just repent. If you'll just let God break your heart and stop being such fill in the blanks. And let's say, let's believe God. You say, why are we here at this point right now, this morning, where we feel the of the Holy Spirit? Well, because you've prayed for it. This is what you're praying for. You may not mean the prayer sometimes. Oh, God, help us change it. And you're just going through the routines. But God takes those prayers. And, okay. Now let's see if we can make it happen so that the world can change. And your life can change. And your children can benefit from it. And so they'll say to you, let's go to church. Man, that was fun. I enjoyed that. That was powerful. Praise the Lord.